Dusk settled into dark over the Cologne skyline. On a broad street in a nice neighborhood of the city, Gertrude Kühlem, no one called her Mookie yet, heard a knock at her apartment door. She peeked into the kitchen, and in the dull yellow light of a petroleum lamp, her father leaned over and gave her mother a kiss. "We won't be alone anymore," he said. They had been expecting that knock. Almost every night, Gertrude would watch as a stream of her parents' friends drifted into their spacious kitchen. Chairs filled up around the large wooden table, and dark brown beer bottles and white porcelain coffee cups filled the table. As far back as Gertrude could remember, the adults would talk about politics, but joke and laugh, too. By the end of 1932, Gertrude noticed almost all the talk was politics, no laughing. She had turned 8 that summer, and her parents let her stay in the kitchen. Words whirled around Gertrude as she sat in the corner, trying to parse what she heard. President of the Reich, monarchist, Weimar Republic, social democrat, national socialist, SA, SS, Nazi, fascist, communist. She knew her parents were communists. On days when her father was particularly proud of his party, he'd hang a red flag with a yellow star and hammer and sickle in the middle from the window. He was a trained welder who supported unions and wanted a better world for workers. The people who came to the apartment were also communists. That night, a friend named Franz said that the behavior of the SA was scary, but still seemed mild. "How will it escalate?" he asked. His girlfriend, Ilse, looked worried. "Don't you want to send your daughter out?" she asked Gertrude's mom. "We shouldn't be talking about this in front of kids."
"No, she stays here," said her father. "She will be the one who has to deal with the consequences of this. She needs to understand."
Gertrude didn't understand a lot of what they were talking about, but she did see that the world could be better than it was. Their family was lucky to have a big apartment in a nice neighborhood on the edge of the Innenstadt, or center city. In other sections of Cologne, some apartment buildings looked like they were about to collapse. On the street, men stood around during the day, looking and hoping for work. Those who could sing or play the accordion played whatever tunes they knew and hoped for spare change to be thrown into their cups. How such people lived and how to make it better was what the communists talked about.
"All people on earth should have the same rights. People are poor and they don't have work. Inflation has destroyed the country. When Hitler comes to power, they will say, 'Oh, Hitler is good. He's brought us jobs and the kids have food to eat again.' People won't realize he's abusing us, at least not at first."
Gertrude knew her father hated Adolf Hitler, the leader of the National Socialists, the Nazis.
"He will be a catastrophe for Germany. He is a criminal," he told her once. Gertrude had also heard the Nazis called brown shirts, the SA, and the SS.
These men hated the communists, and sometimes the communists went to the Neumarkt to confront the Nazis. This particular night, her parents had decided to stay in rather than go to the Neumarkt. There was a hard knock at the door of Gertrude's apartment that stopped the conversation. Gertrude's father disappeared into the vestibule and reappeared with another comrade, a man named Walter. Blood obscured Walter's face. Walter had been at the Neumarkt.
"He was an especially brutal SA man," Walter said as he slumped down on a chair in the kitchen.
Gertrude's mother grabbed a bottle of antiseptic and cotton bandages. Her work at the pharmacy helped in situations like these. As she cleaned Walter's wounds, his whole being, from teeth to fists, stayed clenched, his body ready to fight. Around him, the conversation came back to Hitler, the Nazis, and what they should do next.